Right, we've got about 20 minutes or so for questions. It'll make things easier for companies, but it won't necessarily stop some companies moving some manufacturing capacity offshore as the nature of world production changes. The important thing for New Zealand is not to lose the entire company offshore when that happens. And in fact, the change in the international tax regime will make it more likely that companies will keep significant capacity onshore within New Zealand and not where they've got to follow where their main market has emerged, which has been a problem in the last 10 or 15 years in particular since the current international tax regime was introduced in 1991-92. I'm sure my critics will find almost anything to say, Guy. But the reality is the cost to employers of this are quite small, and many employers, I think, were moving towards thinking about providing employer contributions. I mean, quite obviously, Fletcher Building made quite a significant announcement around that last year. I believe this is in the interest of New Zealand business. And if one compares it with Australia, where employers have to pay 9%, of employees' salary or wages into a compulsory superannuation scheme and get no tax relief for that, we will only be ending up saying 4% at most if all of your employees join a KiwiSaver and a significant tax credit, which offsets the cost of that to the employer. Creates employee loyalty, makes it much more likely we'll retain people within New Zealand. There's no question the Australian superannuation scheme is quite a significant factor in creating both employee loyalty and Australian loyalty within Australia, because your savings are locked into Australia and you can't take them out. I might say in that respect, one little quite small sting in the tail is if you do emigrate from New Zealand, we claw back the government tax credits. Yes, yes. Thinking behind that quite simply is overall fiscal balances. Adding that back in would have put that much extra demand into the economy. And that obviously, particularly the numbers this week, have reinforced the argument I've been trying to make for the last few weeks or months, that growth is far too demand-led within New Zealand. Those retail sales figures on Monday really underlined the fact that growth is imbalanced in New Zealand. The government must not feed even more demand back into the economy, and tax reductions are demand. There is an assumption that some people make that if you give it all at the top end, they'll save the lot. Actually, empirical evidence doesn't suggest that in New Zealand. I'll make clear again what I've said the last couple of days. What I've said is that what I expect to be able to do next year is lay out the long-term programme in relation to how dividends by way of tax reductions will be paid back to the New Zealand people. That's not a signal for some gigantic election lolly scramble. I don't do lolly scrambles.
When you incentives for savings as well?
No, that's not built in at the moment, Brent, but obviously governments in the future want to look at that maximum level as part of their general fiscal decision making, and particularly I suspect from the perspective of the employer tax credit.
Sorry, just the comments about incentives should be taken into account during wage increases.
Yes.
Your message to unions, they should accept a lower wage increase.
I'm saying I think already we've seen with EPMU a very useful example of a union seeking a wage increases, part of which was sought to be by way of employer contributions into KiwiSaver. And I think that is a very sensible approach to take, because KiwiSaver does lift the total remuneration package for employees.
The state sector has had a fairly generous savings in the past 3 or 4 years. That hasn't seen moderation in wage demand
Well, in fact, the greatest salary growth in the state sector has been in the health sector, and the current scheme doesn't extend to the health sector. Indeed, one of the consequences of proceeding with these changes to KiwiSaver is that we will not be extending the current state sector retirement savings scheme. It will stay at the current level and the current coverage within the state sector, which is the core state sector and the education sector. And the core state sector wage movement has been pretty much the same as the private sector. It's health which has been well out of line.
So
those state sector
women will be entitled to this
instead of... If they wish to, they'll be able to cash up. But what we are doing is ensuring, and we get to work through some of the fine detail of this, that where there are state sector schemes which push in a lot more than 4%, I won't mention one obvious scheme, but police is another, then if in effect if people want to have a KiwiSaver scheme, the 4% comes off their current contribution level. You can't expect to have a 15% contribution at present for some, and then another 4% on top with the KiwiSaver scheme. Well, I think he fell through it already because he indicated only last week he was voting against the company tax rate cut. That seems to be a pretty mighty trapdoor to fall through from a national government perspective, I suppose. But then, of course, they didn't vote for a corporate rate tax cut in the 1990s either, so you could argue they're being consistent. It depends entirely on the rate of take-up. That's why any numbers are somewhat elastic. In my budget speech, I referred to no more than around 1% of total wage and salary bill. That's based on the assumption of 50% take-up by 1 April 2011. That would be quite a high rate of take-up and significantly higher than we had previously assumed for KiwiSaver. We previously assumed a 25% take-up within 5 years of operation. When we're now saying, well, if we've got a 50% take-up, say somewhere around about 1%.
Because Treasury does say in the year before that they expect a will impact on burden profitability.
But in a number of different ways, because if it gets greater employee loyalty, and particularly retaining skilled staff within New Zealand, that may increase productivity rather than reduce it. Older workers tend to be more productive than very new workers. He said. Sorry? Yes, but you can't 1 year say it was chewing gum and then complain because it was taken away.
Dr. Keller, this budget doesn't include any money for beneficiaries.
Really? No, that's not true. I mean, apart from that, it obviously funds the annual indexation of benefits, and for New Zealand superannuitants, funds the 60% minimum threshold, which costs us in this coming year 95 million. I think it is more than it would at 65, but much more importantly, this year's budget, 2007-08, is the first year that the full cost of working for families comes to charge. In other words, the full cost of the $10 per week per child on 1 April comes to full charge this year. And that's a lot of money.
The child obligation with another welfare organisation can say that the people who are still missing out on the economic movement in New Zealand are the people at the very bottom on invalids, sickness, and home benefits.
Well, the number of people on unemployment benefits is a tiny fraction of what it was 7 years ago. We have deliberately introduced an earned income tax credit to widen the gap between low-end incomes and benefits, to encourage people off benefits. We now have 150,000 fewer people on income-tested benefits than we had 7 years ago. We would rather see those 150,000 people in work than on slightly higher benefits.
Well, there are still, we believe, some people who are on benefits, and those benefits remain where they are levels. And according to people who look after people at the lowest level, they are suffering with inadequate income.
But for those with children, we have significantly increased their family incomes through the Working for Families package. Very, very significantly indeed. Sorry, Tracy. Well, I suppose if you're a short-term financial market trader, you'd say it was a very bad idea. But if you're governing for the long-term of the New Zealand economy, you say this is what this economy needs at this stage, a 9% current account deficit, a large negative household savings rate, demand growth, which is clearly demand-led. It'd be a pretty strange person to argue the first thing you need to do is to put a lot more money into everybody's pockets to spend. Yes.
This become New Zealand students welcome extra funding, particularly student support, notably allowances.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering when Labor's going to hold those extra funds and boost the allowances back up to 50%. I think they're currently around 30.
Well, it depends on what the basis you're calculated on. Actually, on one base, you could argue we are at 50% of those who qualify for other reasons. As you well know, the majority of students who don't qualify because of the parental income test or other reasons. They are disqualified for reasons like it's not a full-time course or their record's not been good enough, etc., 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 etc. That takes the majority out. This does lift the parental income threshold. We will want to continue to move on that over time, but I'm also conscious, I said every time I've been asked this question, that my first priority is to try to put more money into institutions, because there's no point in students having a little bit more money, but actually we have third-rate institutions. And there was a serious risk, in my view, that if we didn't start putting more money back into institutions over time, we would fall behind international best standards. And that's the best thing to do for students in the day, is make sure their qualifications are good.
We probably won't agree that this rate of increasing their threshold.
Yeah.
I think it's also show that our students are qualifying for like $10 a week, they're not even going to bother applying.
That's a general measure, of course, of all income-related benefits. Right at the bottom end, where people don't qualify for much, they don't bother applying. That's certainly true. But the answer to that, obviously, is completely to abolish the income test, and that's very expensive, and by definition tends to go to somewhat better off families. What I think we need to do is to continue to move on thresholds. Also need to talk to Mr Dunn, because we have a commitment within this three-year cycle of budgets to look at the maximum age for the parental income test.
We're looking forward to those
decisions.
Well, I think those two questions are linked to some extent. I mean, obviously there is some employers who will say, well, I'm not going to want to cooperate at that stage. I think we will be seeking in terms of supporting bargaining that the reverse occurs. And this is a classic case of short-term interest versus long-term interest. There's no question in my view that the long-term interest of employers is actually encouraging their employees to join KiwiSaver and to contribute to stronger capital markets in New Zealand, and to contribute to stronger employee loyalty in New Zealand. We haven't always been very good in New Zealand at the long-term view of where our interests lie.
The point I was making was that the union goes to the employers and says, 3% wage increase, and the employer says, let's make it 2%, because I'm giving you 1% already. The union can say, well, that's compulsory, let's talk about the real wage increase, can't
we? Well, that's what's called bargaining, Vernon. Yes, well, I sometimes have that problem with confidence supply agreements. We won't go into that.
That's good stuff.
Dr. Carr, the take-up rate of KiwiSaver at the time gets very high, it's at the 80-90% rate, because it's all been very, very attractive for employees of the suspect.
Yes.
Are you worried there's a political risk that people may want to convert New Zealand super fund to KiwiSaver, something that your foreign minister may be?
I'm not, no, because that would be kind of bottom line, die in a ditch territory for me. It's one of the reasons why I remain extremely sceptical around compulsory employee contributions, because that does tend to lead you to an argument around a trade-off against New Zealand superannuation over the longer term. Because superannuation is crucial for low to modest income people, and particularly for women, and therefore its current non-income asset tested profile is simple, straightforward and fair. Also, I might say, will become more and more efficient over time as the issue becomes, in countries like ours, how do we encourage older workers to stay in the workforce? And if you have an income and asset tested pension, that's a discouragement to staying in the workforce, not an encouragement.
Would you think though KiwiSaver couldn't be almost the backbone of involvement on the basis an employee would have to be fairly silly to turn down a 4% employer contribution, especially as it would be for new employees often more become the backbone of compulsory super over time, which may contend with a huge government for the super fund?
Over time, obviously we would hope that the sign into KiwiSaver will increase and increase. But come back to what that does to people, it also helps their long-term retirement income, and that will reduce cost to government, not by reducing ZenSuper, but reducing their reliance upon income-tested supplementary payments for a range of purposes, which at the moment could become significantly higher in the longer term, particularly if more people arrive at retirement dependent upon rental property. Because the current levels in ZenSuper superannuation, bluntly, are not designed for people who are paying a large amount of rent.
Thank you.
Jeremy.
Minister, I'm Jeremy Lane, Minister of Federation. You dropped the proposal for the skills tax credit and you replaced that with some
We think it will be adequate for the demand that's anticipated over the next year. Obviously, we want to continue to be putting more money into that area, and I'm particularly concerned to make sure that we get a better coordination across government agencies in the crucial area of workplace literacy and numeracy. We were still not doing anything like, or achieving anything like as much as I or the government would like. Any more? Right, we're away. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry, one more, Corinne. Sorry, I'm going to release the budget to you under Official Information Act, Corinne, right now. Yes. Basically, the updated revenue estimates enabled us to expand that spending allowance without changing, in fact, the bottom lines. And as you know, I tend to manage towards the bottom line rather than the elements along the way of that. So I'm not particularly concerned around that. Obviously, the KiwiSaver element is quite important in giving confidence over the medium to longer term to the Reserve Bank. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.